Welcome to Tarati Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yoshua, Perek Yud Aleph, number 11. A recap of what we learned in Perek Yud, the previous Perek. We heard how Adoni Tzedek had led four other Amorite kings in a battle against Klal Yisrael and the Givonim, who had made a peace treaty with Klal Yisrael, and the other Amorite kings were very frustrated. Yehoshua then goes out on behalf of the Givonim, but this is a battle, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'd arrange and set up. Amazing Nisim take place, hailstones are rained on the enemy, and we have the beautiful Shemesh begivandom v'yarech be'emek hayalon, the sun standing still, the moon staying in its position in the sky. As the battle continues, the five kings are found hiding in a cave. We kill the kings and we kill and destroy all of their cities. Perek Yud Aleph. So Perek Yud described the southern conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Perek Yud Aleph is going to describe how the northern part of Eretz Yisrael is going to be captured, and actually starts with kings of the north grouping together in order to try and fight against Am Yisrael, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu quickly sends Yehoshua up and they surprise them, and Yehoshua and his army go ahead and take one city after another city in the north part of Eretz Yisrael. Pasuk Aleph, Vayihi kishma Yovin melech Chatzor, and it was when Yovin, the king of Chatzor, heard. So we'll pause for one moment and just describe this place called Chatzor, because Chatzor is an enormously strong city in the north of Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays, the location of it, using cities of today, I would say it's near Rosh Pina and the kibbutz Ayelet HaShachar. But in last parak, we discussed when the king of Gezer, Horam, came to join in and fight against Lachish. We spoke there how there were three very important cities that sat at major crossroads, on a major road. And later in history, when Shlomo HaMelech finishes building the first Beis HaMikdash, he's going to take these three cities and build them up into enormous cities. And Chatzor is going to be one of those cities. So Chatzor sits about 10 kilometers north of the Kinneret. The crossroad that it's on a road that travels all the way from Bavel through Syria all the way to Egypt. It was the main trade route in ancient times, going from Babylonia all the way to Egypt. The Romans are going to call this road the Via Maris, the way of the sea. And the east-west road that is the most northern eastern path that went over the Yarden area. So this area of Chatzor is a very, very important city. And Yavin, the king over there, calls hears Vayishlach El Yovav Melech Madon ve'elach Melech Shimron ve'elach Achshaf. He calls to these other kings in the northern area. Now, what exactly did he hear? The Chida suggests that he both heard how merciless Am Yisrael had been in their battles against the other Canaanites, had they taken the cities and, like, you know, burnt them down. He also heard about how the five kings had been killed with a whole ceremony of having their necks stepped on, and that didn't, you know, sit so well with him. The Lev Aaron says a bit differently. He heard that Yehoshua has now returned back to Gilgal, and he thinks, wow, now is the right time to strike against Am Yisrael. So he calls to all of these kings. The Pasuk Beis tells us the kings also of smaller state areas, smaller, you know, kingdoms, the ones that are in the mountain area and in the Arava Valley area, and Negev Kinrot, in the Negev area and in Kinrot. The Negev Kinrot could mean south of the Yam Kinneret, but the Kinrot Radak there quotes the Targum telling us that this is a place called Ginosar. We're familiar with the city or the area of Ginosar today on the Kinneret. V'hi eret shmeina ma'od, and it's a very, very lush, beautiful area. And the Gemara actually says Ginosar is made up of two words, Gan and Sar, the garden of the prince, and it was a particularly beautiful area. So he also calls to the Shvela area, Uva Nafos Dar Miyam, and the regions of Dar, which lie on the west, the Mediterranean coast area. Dar is about 8 kilometers north of Kisaria today. Pasuk Gimel tells us, Hakanani b'mizrach, umiyam v'ha'emori v'ha'chiti v'ha'prizi v'ha'yavushi b'har, v'ha'chavi tachas chermon be'eret ha'mitzbi. And this group together make up the Canaanites on the east and the west, the Amori, the Chiti, and the Prizi, and the Yavusi in the hill country, and the Chivi, who live in the Hermon area, which is in the land of Mitzpah, which is sort of in the high up area. Now, if you count the number of Canaanite nations that are listed over here, you find that there were only six of them. And we know that there were seven Canaanite nations living in Eretz Canaan. And the Chazal tell us that one of them, the Girgashi, had left Eretz Canaan before the Bnei Israel had even entered into the land. They'd heard and they saw what was coming and they'd fled to Africa. Pasuk Dalet tells us they come out as a group ready to meet Klal Yisrael in battle. And they were Am Rav Kachol, Asher Al Safas Hayam. They were as many as the sand on the seashore. Vasus Varecha Rav Ma'od. And not only that, they came with horses and chariots. The Malbim says this is the first time we're going to see horses and chariots involved in warfare against Am Yisrael. Vayivadu kol hamalachim ha'ela, vayavo vayachanu yachdav. They group together and they come and camp against Klal Yisrael in a place called Me Marom, lehilachem im Yisrael, ready to do battle against Am Yisrael. And this area, Me Marom, we assume that this is the area where the Chula Lake once sat. Nowadays we have the Chula Valley. In 1948, the State of Israel decided to drain this beautiful large lake called the Chula Lake. It was a very swampy area, and in previous generations, different groups of Aliyot had attempted to drain it, and they basically all died from malaria from the enormous amount of mosquitoes in that area. But this area in 1948, that the government decided that they needed to convert the area into agricultural fields, and they had drained the Chula Lake. Ad Hayom Hazeh, until today, this is still such a beautiful, lush area. Over 500,000 birds migrate yearly over this area, and many of them even stop over in the Chula Valley area to on their journey, on their migration journey. So this is where these different Canaanite nations gather together in order to fight against Am Yisrael. And in Pasuk Vav, and we hear, Vayom Hashem al Yehoshua, Hashem says to Yehoshua, Al tira mipnehem, do not be afraid of them. Ki machar ka'es hazos, because at this time tomorrow, Anochi nosein es kulam chalalim lifnei Yisrael. They're all going to be given over to Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that adds something very, maybe a little unusual. Hashem says, Esuseihem ta'aker v'esmar kuvoseihem tisrof ba'esh. When you finish fighting against them, all of their sources, you should hamstring them, and their chariot you should burn to the ground. So Radak says hamstringing was a way of making them incapable or making it very, very difficult for them to walk, and therefore they would not be able to be used for war. So it doesn't really sit so well with us because of, you know, Tzar Balei Chaim. But first of all, we have to note that this was a direct sivui, a direct commandment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Ralbag says perhaps the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yehoshua to do this, because after this battle, they're going to fight lots of other battles to take, you know, all the rest of the northern region. And if Klal Yisrael would have all these horses, they would take them out into battle, and perhaps they would think, look, we're being very successful because of the horses. Pasuk Zion tells us that the Yehoshua gathers all of his people with them, and they come to Me Marom ready for battle. And the Pasuk tells us it was done pisom, suddenly. Now, on the one hand, says the Ne'am Lo'ez, this could refer to the Zrizus Yehoshua shows, that quickly he listens to the Dvar Hashem, he gathers his troops, and he makes this trek all the way from Gilgal, where they're camped at that time, all the way up to Me Marom, which is probably a distance of about 80 kilometers. The other Mefarishim say, the Da Sofrim says that this suddenly refers not to Am Yisrael, but it refers to the way the Canaanites felt, or the suddenness of how Yehoshua and his army suddenly arrived. They hadn't expected to happen so quickly. And in Pasuk Ches, we're told, Vayitneim Hashem b'yad Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them all over into Klal Yisrael's hands, Vayakum v'yirdufum ad Tzidon Rabbah, and they chase after them all the way to Tzidon Rabbah, v'ad Misrafos Mayim, until a place called Misrafos Mayim. So I'll just, what is Misrafos Mayim? Literally translates as the place of the burning waters. And Chazal described how there were these huge pits of water over there, that they burnt out, whether it was with sunlight or they actually physically burnt out the water in order to obtain the salt. Now, salt in ancient times was a very important commodity. Later on in history, we're going to see that the area of the Yam HaMelech, there's like a tug of war going on with that whole region. Who's in control of it? The Hashmonaim, or the early Roman period, because of the importance of salt. There was actually a period where the Roman army paid their soldiers using salarium, salt, in order to preserve food. And from here we get the word celery. We also have a nice English saying, something is worth worth your salt. And that's where it comes from. So they chase after, Bnei Israel chase after these Canaanite nations all the way to this area of Misrephos Mayim, Vad Bikas Mitzpah Mizracha, and they just completely destroy them and nothing remains of them. And Pasuk Tes tells us after that, Yehoshua did exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. He burns the chariots and renders the horses unusable. And now Yehoshua returns and goes back to Chatzar, the Pasuk tells us, and completely and utterly burns Chatzar to the ground. Actually, today, you can still see in Tel Chatzar, in the remnants of the Canaanite buildings from that era, there's just a little bit of it left, you can still see the burn marks on the wall. So Ves Chatzar, Tsarif Ba'esh, Chatzar was completely burnt by fire. And we're told again here that the reason that they had to do this was because Chatzar was considered Rosh Kol HaMamlachos Ha'ela, the head of all the kingdoms of that region. It was such an important place. There is also an idea that perhaps Canaanites, many Canaanites actually ran to Chatzar to try and hide out there, and that's why Yehoshua was commanded to burn it completely to the ground. And in Pasuk Yud Beis, we're told that everything Yehoshua did was kasher tziva Moshe Eved Hashem. He directly commanded what Moshe had told him, Moshe, who we know is called the Eved Hashem. And we're reminded again of the Gemara in Yevamos that tells us that was nothing Yehoshua did, nothing Yehoshua taught that wasn't directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pasuk Yud Gimel tells us that although Chatzar was burnt to the ground completely, all of the other cities were left destroyed, but they were left as mounds. And now we see that Yehoshua and Am Yisrael has gained control over a very large region in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, and the Pasukim are going to describe the borders of where these battles reached and exactly what was captured. But Pasuk Yud Ches tells us, Yomim Rabim Asa Yehoshua Es Kol HaMalachim Ha'ela Melchama. These battles, although it seems pretty fast from this parak, these battles actually took place over quite a long period of time. And the Medrash tells us that Yehoshua, the Medrash Bamidbar Rabba tells us that Yehoshua knew that once the wars were over, the dividing of the land would take place, Klal Yisrael would move into their separate areas, and then he would leave this world. And it's possible that he wanted to extend his own life, and therefore Yehoshua chose to draw out these wars. And the Medrash tells us he was actually punished for this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took 10 years off his life. He was supposed to die at 120 like Moshe Rabbeinu did, but he died at 110. Now, there's an idea, of course, that he didn't necessarily do this for personal reasons. Yehoshua knew that all the time that he was alive, that Bnei Yisrael would not sin. And therefore, he imagined by staying alive, it would be something that would be important for Am Yisrael's sake. But we have a pasuk in Mishlei, Rabos Machshavos Belev Ish. There are many designs in a man's heart. A person can have many thoughts for Atzas Hashem Hisakum, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan that is accomplished. Famous man plans and God laughs. We are told that Yehoshua conquered everything in Eretz Yisrael, except for the Givonim, who we know we had a peace treaty with. And why, though, did all these Canaanites keep coming out in order to battle against Klal Yisrael? And Pasuk Kaf, we're told, this was Me'eis Hashem. This was all from Hashem. It was all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. Why? What had he done? He'd lechazek et libam. Hashem had hardened their hearts. Hashem had taken away, so to speak, the bechira of all these Canaanite nations in order, likras ha-melchama es Yisrael, they'd come out to do battle against Yisrael, in order, lema'an hacharimam, in order that they would be destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had drawn out all of these Canaanites into battle so that Klal Yisrael could take them all, get rid of the Canaanites, and finally settle the land. The parak ends with a brief description of how Yehoshua now had come to the area around Hebron and the Har Yehuda mountains, and he'd killed off all the Anakim, the giants that lived there. Vayavo Yehoshua be'esahi, Yehoshua came at that time, and he destroyed the giants min Hahar, min Hebron, min Devir, min Anav, min Kol Har Yehuda. We're told, however, in Pasuk Kaf Beis, that some giants remained, Ba'aza, Begas, Uva Ashdod, in these three cities. In Aza, Gat, and Ashdod, there were still giants that remain. And we know later in history, Goliath is going to come from the area of Gas. Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Vayikach, Yehoshua Eskala Aretz, Kochala Shediber, Hashem al Moshe. Yehoshua now takes the entire land, just the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said to Moshe, told Moshe, Vayidna Yehoshua Lenachal al Yisrael, Kamachla Kosam Lishiftehem. And now Yehoshua can go ahead and portion out different portions to each of the tribes of Klal Yisrael, Vaharet Shakta Mimelchama. And the land rests from war. And Radak says, the entire rest of Yehoshua's life, the Canaanites did not try to attack us, and Klal Yisrael did not attempt to conquer any more territory. Thank you for learning this parak together with me. Sefer Yeshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenker, memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, and Belen Oppenheimer. Alena Shalom Neshot Chayil, who lived with utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenge they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. I wish everyone a wonderful, wonderful day.